I'm Elena Hutchins Lyle.
And I'm Harvinder Vadva.
We're the hosts of Inappropriate Questions, and we're back with season 3.
With some fantastic guests, we break down questions like,
is asking where are you from appropriate small talk?
Is it okay to ask a coworker how much do you make?
Should you ask a polyamorous person, do you get jealous?
Inappropriate Questions season 3. Available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
My sister had a baby on Friday.
An auntie again.
Yeah. So her number 3. And it was a hard day. Which unexpectedly, actually. Because it just brought up all these feelings again. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, and disappointment of myself again. Why can't I just be okay with this? Like move on.
This is Other People's Problems, a show about therapy. I'm Hillary McBride. I'm a clinical counselor in Vancouver. I want to take you into the lives of some of my clients. They've agreed to let you experience their most private moments as they actually happened during our sessions. It's extremely rare to hear sessions like this. Usually everything that happens in my basement office is totally confidential. But these clients believe therapy has made a huge difference in their lives, and they want to open up more real conversations about mental health. That's why we've plunked mics down close to the couch and invited you in. We think you'll discover that other people's problems are a lot like your own. This episode, we're going to meet Patty. We've changed her name to protect her privacy. As you're listening, it's important to remember that I'm Patty's therapist, and what we talk about is best for her and no one else. But while you listen, I hope you can find something to take away for yourself.
So when my mom called to tell me, I was like, how's my sister doing? And I tried to very specifically ask safe questions for me. And my mom and my sister don't think about my feelings too, and nor should they. But they had to talk about how, rough her, natural birth went. I mean, my sister gets pregnant by looking at her husband.
That easy, hey?
Yeah. And, she was complaining because it was the longest, she had been pregnant because she went, 39 plus 5. Which I'm like, oh, wonderful for a full-term baby. Awful. And, a 3-hour labor. Which, I mean, obviously is, fast, and there's complications with that. She had some tearing and all that kind of stuff, which is going to obviously need to have time to heal and all this kind of stuff. So I get that. But it's just,
It's just what?
It was just too much for me.
It was too much for you. Tell me more about that.
I'm just still so sad. I didn't get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems so silly.
Yeah, it's tender. Yeah, you really wanted it.
Patty's a woman that I've been seeing for a few years now who had a very, very difficult birth experience. She initially came to see me, even a few years after the birth had happened, to deal with what had been a very traumatic birth of her son. Patty is warm and giving and loving, and also very, very hard on herself.
And I think about, too, my experience in terms of becoming a mom and how hard that was for me, and surprisingly hard. But I think about it now, and I'm like, what was my problem at the time?
What do you mean?
Well, in the sense now, especially that I have so much more experience with little babies, I am like, oh gosh, and a lot of ways are so easy. And we did. We carted him around all over the place, and we're quite flexible in our lives. So it's not to say that we weren't. But I got in the way of enjoying every sort of piece of his development. And I think with perspective now, that could have been easier. I don't know. I seem to think that, but
that's a really nice idea.
Yeah. I know, and I think about it in terms of, we just talked recently about the possibility of having another one, and I'm like, I think I like to think that it would be so much easier, but no, in a lot of ways, and actually in a lot of ways, it would be more complicated.
I think it's easy to look back and say, how come I didn't know what I had?
Yeah.
And sometimes that perspective helps us in future situations go, okay, I have some wisdom from living life that I know precious things don't last forever. Yeah. But you were where you were, and you had been through something very, very, very difficult that got in the way of you being fully...
And I was always a good mom. I just wasn't always a good wife.
I feel resistant to attaching labels to it like that. I think you were really suffering.
Yeah.
And you were really alone and isolated relationally. And you were really hurting in a lot of ways. And so you couldn't have been who you are today then, because you are walking through the world today with more wisdom and perspective and having a more healed heart.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad that, like, so many times today already you've brought up something that feels painful, and then immediately it's followed by, oh, that's silly, or that's stupid, or what was wrong with me then?
Or where does it come from?
So we've got some residual pain still around how labor and delivery went.
Yeah. I won't even say, you said labor, I won't even say I gave birth.
Because you had to intellectually or physically exert yourself to give birth?
Yeah. To me, it has to be a participatory. And because it was emergency C-section where I was put under, I say Dr. Anderson gave birth.
Okay. Let's talk about birth. I want you to come sit here.
Birth trauma is something that we know is problematic, that it shows up for many women. There can be a lot of things that make a birth traumatic. Feeling like something happened as it wasn't supposed to. In the instance of Patty, where there was this kind of spontaneous bleeding that happened, that was actually quite scary and painful and confusing for her, and much in advance of when she was supposed to deliver. Other things could be feeling like there was an immense amount of pain. But it's not uncommon for people who've had sexual trauma earlier on in their lives to have an activation of the traumatic memories through the birth experience, particularly related to something that we call proprioceptive memory, being on your back and having uterine contractions and not necessarily wanting them to happen, but your body just kind of doing what it's doing and feeling out of control within your body. So birth trauma, it's not unusual for people who've had sexual trauma, either single incident sexual trauma or early developmental experiences of sexual trauma, to have really challenging birth experiences, particularly vaginal deliveries.
And at any point, if you feel like you want to stop, just say stop, or you want to keep going, just say keep going. And all you're doing is just being aware, kind of like when we've done EMDR before. Just notice what's happening in your body and report.
EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, is the way that we can help people move through their trauma by accessing parts of their brain that might not normally be active when they're talking about something. We can help their brain move through experiences that feel overwhelming, that make them feel stuck or caught in some way, and help their brain learn that a trauma is over. The parts of our brain that store traumatic memory aren't always working or active when we're talking about something. And so what we're trying to do is bypass the parts of our brain that utilize language and logic to get to the parts of our brain that store the traumatic content, and then help our brain recategorize, reorient, renegotiate what those things are, put a time stamp on them so that our brain and our body know that it's over, and then help the rest of us catch up to all of that change. And we use words at the end to make sense of it so that the subcortical structures that store the traumatic content reorganize everything. And then we come back and we add the language in, and people's brains have now and their bodies have now adjusted to something that kept them stuck now being unstuck.
My family spent 20 years on the run, fleeing from threats I still struggle to fully comprehend.
There's people out there that want to do us harm.
We got a phone call saying that your father's thugs were coming to break my legs.
Run, Hide, Repeat, the unbelievable true story of a fugitive family and the unimaginable truth of what we were running from. Available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Let's start with, just think big picture about the birth. Just play the movie in your mind of what happened and tell me what you notice. Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that really comes up quite quickly is the feeling of loss of control.
Okay,
all in my hand. One second, I'm up there. This week, it's interesting, I don't know. This week, a friend of ours, and they were rock climbing and never been, and he was having a blast. And our friend said, oh, this is my favorite place to go. And I'm like, no, this is my favorite place to go. And she goes, well, really? I love it even more than my favorite thing. And she said, and that's something. And that my favorite thing is being home with my mom.
Stay with that and follow my hand. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, it just, in a good way, it reminds me that he doesn't care. For him, I am the best mom ever.
Yeah. Yeah, for him, you are and have always been enough.
And not only that, but like his favorite.
His favorite. Okay, stay with that. So I want you to think about the birth again. Tell me what you feel.
I'm scared.
Scared, okay.
I'm just feeling very, just felt very lonely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this time I want you to close your eyes and play the movie of what happened. Okay? And yet, is it okay if I touch your knees?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, what are you noticing?
I'm just remembering how I started bleeding at home, and so I went to the washroom, and I had bled quite a bit, and so called the ambulance, and we had like two ambulances and three fire trucks show up to our house. And the person holding my hand while I'm in the bathroom in my nightgown was a fireman. And like, he was like, I think he was packing for the hospital or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like in those moments that I needed somebody, it was somebody random.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's play the movie again. What do you get this time?
I never thought about it this way, but Dr. Anderson, when I got there, said, after they had done the fetal monitoring, he said, I said, oh, I have a planned C-section for Thursday. And it was Sunday night or something. And he goes, well, it looks like you're going to have this baby tonight. And I remember only thinking negative thoughts about that. But actually now I think about it and think, oh, wonderful to be on. Be like, oh, okay, we get it tonight instead.
Yeah.
Huh. So that's it. I've never been able to replay that. And positive.
Okay, stay with that.
There's been a shift in how her brain is categorizing that experience. It went from being something that was associated with loss and pain and trauma, and is now something that her brain can think of as being about a beginning and a welcoming and the start of their family life.
Happening again.
Yeah, just like letting myself
enjoying that a little bit.
Wow. It's not too late. The feeling I keep getting listening to you right now is it's not too late. You can enjoy the good things now.
Yeah.
So let's do this again. I want you to close your eyes and play the movie. The part, okay? I got to hold him that night briefly. They wheeled me into the NICU after a couple of hours of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Which at the time, it was hard and I was sad because then I had to go back to my room. But I mean, they didn't let other people hold him for a couple days. So also reframing that, like, it wasn't this, like, the picture that you see of baby on mom's breast. It was like me like coming out of surgery and like him hooked up to everything, but
it's still special in those circumstances.
Yeah.
Like you, there was, what I hear is there was something exclusive that you got.
Yeah. And so that delineates me as mother.
Mm-hmm. You were still someone special.
Yeah.
Let's deal with that. You notice?
Yeah, this sense of like more settled in terms of I didn't disappoint him, and so I don't need to like carry any of that.
Ooh, let's stay with that. So this time what I'd like you to do is close your eyes and play the movie of the birth and sandwich on top of that movie the words I'm enough.
Already. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it was hard for me.
It is hard. You're being so persistent and brave and vulnerable with me. It's hard stuff.
Yeah.
So let's play the movie and see the words, I'm enough. Just sandwich them together in your mind.
Dr. said to me, you're going to have an emergency C-section. We're going to have to put you under. In real life, I said, but I don't want to. And he said, but you don't have a choice. But then in my brain, just now, he said, you don't have a choice, but you're still enough.
I like that story.
And then when I woke up from recovery, I asked, how's my baby doing? And in the OR, they said, well, we're not connected to maternity, so we don't know, and so we can't tell you. You'll have to just wait till you're done recovering.
Mm-hmm.
He was this, like, 23-year-old guy,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. I think he
doesn't get it.
No. But in my head, I had him being like, we don't know. You'll have to wait, but you're still enough.
Yeah. What do you notice you feel?
Hopeful that I can sort of reframe and rewrite a little bit.
Okay. I want you to think about the birth. Tell me what you notice.
Other things are coming up, and it's not just this retelling of all the awful things that happened. I mean, there were a lot of awful things that happened to me.
There were more than your fair share of awful things.
But
and those don't take away from your enoughness.
Yeah.
And how good of a mom you are, and how much you love your son, and how valuable you are.
And how much you love me.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of her when I listen to this story. I think it's really scary to talk about the things that we've been through and not know if they're actually going to feel better at the end. At the end of treatment, at the end of processing, and to let somebody else in. And then I feel so relieved to know that the pain that she's been carrying around for so many years now, that it's lighter, that it's not there, that it's different now, that the story is still there, but the story feels different. It's one that reminds her of all of the beauty that she does have instead of a story that is characterized by the things that she missed out on. I'm Hillary McBride. Other People's Problems was created and produced by Jody Martinson. Co-produced and original music by Lee Rosevier. Arif Narani is the executive producer of CBC Original Podcasts. If you like what you're hearing, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find more episodes, plus exclusive digital extras at cbc.ca/OPP and join the conversation with us at CBC Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook. Next time, on Other People's Problems, we meet Franklin.
I saw she'd always wanted to go to Okinawa, probably just about the time that she cheated on me. She was alone with him there only.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.